Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. So good to be in church. Good to be in the house of the Lord together. It's good to worship together. Amen. I'm going to hopefully try to challenge you a little bit tonight. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, 3 through 9. Going to a pretty familiar passage of Scripture to many. Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Amen. And let's all read it together this evening. It says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and mercy, for your kindness in our lives. I pray that you'd have your way tonight. Help me to speak your word according to your will. God, let it be your word and not mine, and let it bless each of our hearts. God, speak to us. I pray, challenge us tonight and lead us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all may be seated this evening. Amen. As I said, this is a pretty familiar passage of Scripture. If you read through your Bible, you're sure to have come across it, noticed it, probably heard it read, probably heard it preached before. Jesus taught principles through parables. He very, very often, very, very usually taught with stories, illustrations. And in this particular parable, he was explaining the conditions of our hearts and how we receive his word, comparing that to earth in which seed is planted. Again, it's a parable because at first glance, all you see is a story about a sower throwing seed on the ground, and some of the ground was good and some of that was not good. And a lot of the people he spoke to sort of stopped there and kind of took the story at face value. Well, that's a nice story. There was a sower throwing seed. What's the point? Jesus went on to explain the point to his disciples, to his closest followers. He said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So I'm going to explain through the various types of ground as we go, as I speak, but I really want to focus on verse 8. On that verse that says, "Other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold." I want to focus on that because wherever you're at right now in your life, God has a plan for your life. It might be hard to see right now, but it's there. You might look at your heart and think to yourself, "Well, all I see is a lump of dirt." I hope you don't think that. But if you do, I want to reassure you that God has a plan and a purpose for that lump of dirt. When you look at your heart and think to yourself, "All I see is a lump of dirt," God sees blossoming flowers, fruit-bearing branches. You might only see a tiny little sapling right now, but God sees a tall and mighty oak tree. Because God can look into the future and know what's going to happen before it happens. In your eyes, it might be uncertainty, but in God's eyes, it is a certainty. So let's start out looking at some of the different types of earth that Jesus was talking about. And he explained, again, after to his disciples, more privately, away from the crowds, what he was talking about with the parable. So in verse 19 of the same chapter, Matthew 13, he said, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Jesus told them, sometimes the sower is going to sow seed and it's not even going to hit its mark, really. It's going to fall by the wayside. It's not going to fall into ground where it can grow. It's going to fall on ground where it has no chance of growing. And he said, these are the people who hear the word, they don't understand it, and then the wicked one comes and takes away the seed. Here he's talking about people who just aren't ready to receive the word. The word may have entered their ears, it may have gotten into their minds, but it has not entered their hearts. That's who he's talking about in this verse, with this condition. The seed falls to the wayside. He said, look, these are the people who just aren't ready to hear it. They just don't get it. They don't understand why you should go to church. They don't understand why someone would need God. They don't understand why they need the word. They just don't want to hear it. And there are a lot of people like that around us. I'm sure we've all met people who are just resistant to the gospel, who are resistant to the notion and the idea of God. And that's who Jesus was talking about with this part of the story. The funny thing about it is, these are possibly the people who need the word the most and are often the ones who want it the least. Usually it's the people who really need something from God who refuse to hear it, refuse to admit it, don't want anything to do with the gospel. Moving on, the next type of ground, Matthew 13, 20 and 21. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." There are people who are ready to listen to the gospel. There are people who understand that they need God, they need the word, they need something spiritual, but they're not ready to make a commitment. They're not ready to make a solid decision that says, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what happens. They'll stay around as long as it's easy to stay around, as long as the preacher is good, as long as the music is good, as long as there's no trouble and it's always smooth sailing, they'll hang around. But once faith gets a little bit hard, once faith gets challenging, and if you've been living a life of faith for a while, you know it does get challenging, these are the people who won't hang around. When they encounter challenges, when they get offended, when you say the wrong thing to them, and so-and-so hurt my feelings, and so-and-so said this, and I didn't like it. And Jesus said that there is a kind of person that isn't going to stick around when the hard times come. They don't have a root in themselves. They haven't let the word of God grow deep into the soil of their hearts. So to us, I say, don't let things offend you easily. Especially things that aren't meant to be offensive. Especially things that aren't really that offensive. I mean, how many times has somebody made an innocent comment and we've misconstrued it to mean something that it didn't even mean, and it ruined our whole day and it cost us sleep, and we're thinking about it and thinking what we're going to say to that person and playing it over and over in our heads when it was something this big. Something really so small. Inevitably, offenses are going to come. Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. There's going to be offenses. But instead of raging or ranting or retaliating, we need to remember what Jesus did. He went to a cross for the people who crucified him. He went to a cross for sinners who hated him, who wanted to see him dead. And he suffered the shame and the pain of crucifixion for those people. for the very same people who put him in that position. So if our Savior can do that, aren't we able to pray for people who hate us? If Jesus can go to a cross for people who hated and crucified him, then can't we go to prayer? Can't we think if there's some way to help the person that's hurt us? Can't we think if there's some way to bless the person who curses us? Can't we fight evil with good instead of with more evil? You know, I've heard people say, well, you got to fight fire with fire. It is impossible to actually fight fire with fire, because the only one who wins is the fire. When you fight fire with fire, you know what happens? It just blazes more. And the only one who wins is the fire. And when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with conflict, and you decide to fight conflict with more conflict, the only thing that wins is the conflict. You have to fight fire with water. You have to find a way to introduce a coolant into the situation. You have to find a way to soak the situation and bring it down and say, look, there's a way to fix this situation, not blow it out of control. Unless it's an electrical fire, in which case, never pour water on an electrical fire. Bad idea. Use dirt. That's just an important safety tip for you, practical safety tip. Amen. Moving right along. Matthew 13, 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Jesus said there's a person who won't endure through the hard times. He also said there's a person who won't focus on what's important. They receive the word, they're glad to hear the word, they're glad to know Jesus, but other stuff is more important. Making money, other relationships, the things that seem to eat up your time that you think you can't control but really are just excuses. These are the things that Jesus said choke the word. And the people who get tangled up in the cares of this life more than the kingdom of God become unfruitful. And we can't let that be us. We can't let that be who we are. These are the things that can become thorny brambles that suck the life out of your relationship with God. When busyness and day-to-day affairs start to detract and suck and take away from the life of your relationship with God, then you need to get them out of the way. It's time to do some cutting. It's time to do some pruning in the soil of your heart. It's time to put God first again and say, yeah, these other things might be important. You know, making money, paying your bills, having a job, dealing with people, it's all important stuff, but it can never be more important than our Savior. It can never be more important than the kingdom of God. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added. All the other things will become so much easier to deal with when we put God first. But Jesus said there's a sort of person who just can't get past things, who can't get past making money, who can't get past the cares of this life. And what's going to happen is it's going to choke their relationship with God, and they're never going to thrive. They might hang around, but they're not going to be fruitful. They're not going to produce good fruit. And finally, in 13:23, it says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We need to make sure as believers that our hearts are ready to receive the word of God. That whatever God says to do, my answer is, yes, Lord, yes. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you got planned for my life, my answer is always going to be, yes, Lord, yes. Whatever is your will, your purpose, whatever you've got planned that I might not see right now, yes, Lord, yes. Because God knows you a lot of the times better than you know yourself. So many times you will think to yourself, I can't possibly do what I feel God is asking me to do. But the Lord knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than the insecurity that you feel. All of the reasons that you can't do it or it can't be done, that you can't accomplish, that you can't exceed, that you can't do better than you've always done. So many times is our own thoughts about ourselves holding us back. Holding us back. When God is looking at our lives and says, look, you might not see it right now, but I see someone who is blossoming, thriving, exceeding all expectations that other people had for them. Don't pay too much attention to the expectations of people around you. Because sometimes people have unrealistic expectations of you. They might think you're capable of way more than you're capable of, or they might not think you're capable of what you are truly capable of. But only God knows what you are truly capable of. And you can accomplish amazing things if you discipline yourself, dedicate yourself, and stay close to God. You can accomplish way more than you think you can accomplish. We need to make sure that our hearts are ready, that our hearts are prepared like good soil. We need to make sure that when the rocks are there, we're diligent to get them out of the way. Sometimes it's hard lifting rocks. Sometimes it's not easy getting through thorny bushes and chopping and pulling weeds, but we have to do it. When something in our heart is detracting from the mission and purpose that God has for us, we've got to get it out of the way. James 1, 23 and 24 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I know a lot of people, and I know some people spend more time in front of the mirror than others. And however much time you spend in front of the mirror in the morning is your business. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Unless you really want to tell me, I guess I wouldn't. I don't want to say I don't want to know if you want to share, but, you know. But James is saying, if you look at yourself in the mirror first thing in the morning, okay, let me put it this way. Let me use myself. If you looked at me first thing in the morning with all of my hairs everywhere and unbrushed teeth and probably one eye open, you'd probably say, okay, go get ready. Go get ready for the day. You go compose yourself. I'm not a morning person, by the way. If I don't have a coffee in the morning and you know, I'm not a morning person. Those of you who've seen me in the morning know it's not a pretty picture, okay? Need at least one coffee. But he's saying, look, if you can look at yourself in the mirror and notice your hairs are out of place and your teeth are out of place, what do you do? I'm not sure to what degree that was funny, but okay, anyway. I think what I meant to say was something about brushing your teeth. Nobody wants stinky breath. There we go. If your teeth are out of place, go to a dentist. There you go. Okay, I'm going to get past this, I promise. First thing in the morning, you need to fix yourself up. James is saying it's the same thing with the Word of God. If you're reading through the Word and you notice something in your life is out of place, what do you got to do? You got to fix it. You need to make sure that you're a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Not just a hearer, not just a reader, not even just a knower. Even if you know the Word, it's possible to quote the Scripture like a pro, but never put it into action in your life. We need to grow as believers. And so here are our three principles of growth for our lives. Calling. You might have a calling in your life. In fact, you probably do. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I thoroughly believe that everyone has a ministry. Every Christian, everyone that calls himself a believer has something to offer in the kingdom of God. Might not be a pulpit preaching ministry. It might not be something visible, but you definitely have some ministry to offer. Calling. You might have the exact same calling as someone else. God might want you to do the same thing that he wants somebody else to do, but you go about it in two different ways. And that's okay. That's okay. You're not going to perform your ministry in the same way that somebody else will perform the same ministry. You have to be you, and you have to do what God wants you to do the way he wants you to do it. That's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Don't ever look at somebody else and say, well, you know, I do what they do, but I really wish I could do it the way they do it. Because you're not them. Potatoes from Prince Edward Island will not be the same as potatoes from Idaho. They're both potatoes. They'll both be delicious. They'll both be full of starch and healthy, but they're going to be different. Potatoes from the red earth of Prince Edward Island are going to be very different from potatoes from the American Idaho. They're still potatoes, but the different ground is going to yield different results. So the different ground of your heart is going to bring different results than somebody else. Okay, that's important to understand. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves," or in other words, pat themselves on the back. "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." They're not wise when they compare themselves and look at each other and measure by human standards. Okay, when you measure yourself by other people, it's a dangerous game. And the scripture tells us it's not wise. We need to measure ourselves by the word of God and the standard that God has for us. Both scripturally, which is universal, and individually, what God wants us to do personally. Second principle, growth is usually slow. Growth is usually slow. You won't be everything you're supposed to be overnight. And if you are, you want to be careful, because too much success too fast can lead to some problems as well. When Paul is writing to Timothy about the qualifications for a deacon or a bishop, he says, don't let it be someone who's a novice, who's just starting out. Too much success too fast can cause its own problems. You can get a big head. You can start to think too much of yourself. You can expect too much of yourself. You can let the pressure that other people put on you become an issue. You do want to succeed. You do want to go where you're going. But don't put too much pressure on yourself to get there too fast. Growth is usually slow. You're not going to be an overnight success. If you've ever watched grass grow, you're never going to notice it moving. Okay? You're never going to look at grass and watch it grow, right? But if you look where you started from to where you are today, that's where you see the growth. That's where you see the definite progress. When I started, there was just nothing. It was just seeds in the ground. But after time passes and you measure from where you started, there you see the growth. One time in my life, I tried to grow grass and I got scared. I thought it wasn't growing. I thought I messed something up. Surely I didn't water it right. Surely I didn't fix the ground right. But after a while, with a little bit of patience and a little bit of making sure I watered it, sunlight, it did end up growing. I'm glad to tell you. One time in my life, I tried to grow grass. Anyway, principle number three, without care, growth withers. Without care, growth withers. If you don't water plants, if you don't make sure they get sunlight, if you don't give them good soil, they're going to die. And in very much the same way, if you don't cultivate your giftings in life, they won't grow. If you don't cultivate the strengths that God has placed in your life, they're not going to grow. They're going to stagnate. They're going to stay still. You know, God may have given you a legitimate gifting, but if you don't take care of it, practice it, grow it, build it, strengthen it, it's not going to grow. You have to work at it. You have to make it better. You have to reinforce good habits. You have to reinforce and strengthen what you do well. Practice what you do. Do it with your might. Put all your heart and soul into it, and you will see results sooner or later. I'm sure I've said this before, but when I started playing the guitar, I was terrible. Like, I'm so glad none of you heard that awful racket, okay? Maybe sometimes you still hear awful racket. I hope not. But I mean, this was like I had no natural talent, okay? None. I couldn't even like strum a chord. Maybe I had a gift. Maybe I had an aptitude. But I had to work at it every single day and practice and practice and practice and run scales and learn chords and work at it. And I'm still working at it and still trying to get better and better at it. But if I only stayed where I was in the beginning, even if I had a natural gift, even if I had an aptitude, it never would have grown. And it's the very same way with anything you do. You have to do it and practice it and grow it and cultivate your strengths. Okay, when you start doing something, it's really, really easy to give up right away because you're not great at something right away. It's really, really easy to look at something and say, oh, I'm not good at this. I guess this is not for me. When really it might be a secret strength, but you got to stick with it a little bit. Again, with music, I don't know if Randy started on the drums when he started, but what if you would have played the drums the first day and went bang, 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 and he's like, okay, I can't do this. I give up. Annette is laughing. Maybe that's exactly what he did. I don't know. But if he just gave up right away, we wouldn't have a rhythm section now. So without care, growth withers. You have to care. You have to put in the time. You have to be disciplined. It's the same thing with relationships. If you don't care about your relationships, sooner or later they will fade away. So I want to conclude with this. I want to close with this. Again, just thinking of verse 8, that you know some of the seed landed on good ground and produced good fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Ultimately, there was a harvest. It's not your job to plant the seed. Okay? That's not your job. The seed is the seed. The seed is the word of God. And the seed is good no matter what. Okay? Your job is to make sure that the soil of your heart is prepared to receive the seed. Okay, the seed is the word. It doesn't change. It's always good. You're never going to get a bad seed when it comes to the word of God. But it's your job to make sure that all of the thorns that can find their way into your heart, you weed them out. Get rid of them. All of the rocks that start to fall where they're not supposed to fall, get them out. Lift them. Get them out of there. Get a spiritual rake and till the ground. And make sure that your heart is ready to say, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. If this is your word, I want to do it. If this is what you've got planned, I want to be part of it. If you're there, I want to be there too. So I want to finish with a couple verses about reaping and sowing. Hosea 10:12 said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that is overrun and wild. Said, break it up. Whatever's going on there, get it out. Make it good ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up the fallow ground. Sow righteousness. And it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. Our job is to work the ground. It's the very first thing he told man to do. It's the very first thing he commanded Adam to do. He said, this is the garden, dress it and keep it. We need to work the ground in our hearts. Let's all stand tonight. I want to read a few more verses. If you could come back to the music, please. Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. Whatever you do well, don't be weary of doing it. Do it with your might. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to say it again. The seed is never bad. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's perfect. It'll never fail you. It'll never lead you wrong. If you follow what Scripture teaches, what the Spirit's saying, it'll never lead you wrong. But it's our job to make sure that our hearts are right, to receive it and do what God wants us to do. So what I want to tell you tonight, what my message really is for you tonight, is that you are not useless. You are not useless. You have a purpose. You have a reason for existing. You know, at some point in your life, you might have felt like there was no good you could do. You might have felt like no matter how hard you tried, things never seemed to work out. You might have felt like nobody cared whether you succeeded or failed, so why try? But I've got a message for you tonight that says you are not useless. You are valuable. You are precious in God's eyes. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your life that in every case is greater than you can possibly imagine. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You're not useless. You might be here tonight. You might be called to be a missionary. You might be called to teach Bible studies to people who haven't heard the word yet, who haven't heard the gospel. You might be called to be a prayer warrior. God might be calling you to intercede on someone else's behalf on a level that you don't even know about yet. You might be called to show people kindness who might not otherwise ever receive any kindness. You might be called to make a difference in somebody's life that nobody else could make. Today, right now, you might not see what God can do with your life because you look at your heart, you look at your life, and you just see a clump of dirt. But I tell you, God can take a lump of dirt and form it and fashion it and cause growth to come out of it. What are we really but dust of the earth? But God breathed into our lungs his breath, and man became a living soul. If God can create man out of the dust of the earth, he knows how to get the best out of our lives. Again, what we have to do is work the ground. Work in our own hearts to make sure that we're ready to receive the word, that whatever God's got going on, I want to be a part of it. So tonight, as we find a place to pray and take some time to worship, here's what I want to challenge you with. as we find a place to pray, I want you to think about what it is that God wants you to do in His kingdom, in the church, in your community. What does God want you to do? Then ask, Lord, what do I have to do to improve the condition of the soil of my heart? Lord, what do I need to change? What do I need to prune? What thorny brambles have been hurting my relationship with you? What rocks have been getting in the way? What do I have to change in my heart? And Lord, what do you want me to do? Or how can I do it better? How can I take it to the next level? Amen. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to come around this altar and find a place to talk to God and get in the presence of God and seek His direction for our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. God, there's no one like you in the heavens or the earth. You're a strong God. You're a Savior. Lord, you looked on our lives while we were yet sinners and died for us. And not just so that we could be saved from sin, oh God, but so that your purpose and your plan could be fulfilled in our lives. Lord, we might not see it now, but I thank you that you've got a plan and a purpose for each of our lives, that the thoughts that you think towards us are peace and prosperity. Father, I pray, speak into our hearts tonight and lead us in the direction that we need to go to be effective in your kingdom. God, lead us in the direction that we need to go to follow you wherever you are. Lord, let us follow after you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Wherever you go, oh God, wherever you lead, I want to follow. Lord, have your way in us today. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to find a place to pray around this altar and talk to God. Let's sing and worship tonight. Hallelujah.